Scientists are in a race against time. They need to understand how the coronavirus spreads and evolves and understand that as quickly as possible. To win this race, as we're going to hear from the world's Ilana Gordon, it's requiring unprecedented global scientific collaboration.
The pandemic postponed Stephanie Goya's plans to finally complete her PhD. She is a virologist at the Ricardo Gutierrez Children's Hospital in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Like so many scientists around the world, she has shifted her focus to the coronavirus.
A lot of hands were needed. So with my expertise in viral genomics, I could help different projects.
She is more than okay with joining those efforts.
I love it. I love to help society and bring all my expertise in something helpful. And this is the most helpful work I ever done.
What she is doing is helping to map and understand the genomic makeup of this new coronavirus. In other words, she and other scientists are drilling into the very structure of the virus to uncover clues about how it works and spreads, and ultimately, how it can be treated. What excites Goya about this work is the level of detailed information that scientists around the world have been able to share in almost real time.
It's the beginning of a new era.
That is in part thanks to advances in technology, but also to a global network of scientists who have been willing and able to share this information from the start. Christian Happy is one of those scientists. He's led an effort to map the genome of the coronavirus in Africa. In February, he got a sample of the new coronavirus from a patient in his lab in Ede, Nigeria. He immediately got to work.
We had a whole genome of the virus lined up, and that was unprecedented because we were able to do that in 48 hours.
Across the hemisphere, Harm van Bakel is racing to map out the virus too, collecting samples from infected patients across New York City and from other countries that don't have the lab capacity yet.
Given the number of samples that we are currently processing, we sequence maybe about 100 viruses every 2 to 3 days.
Van Bakel runs a lab at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. He says there's a huge benefit to being able to sequence so many samples of this new coronavirus.
As the virus is spreading, it accumulates small changes in its genetic code.
When a virus infects someone new, it copies and creates new virus particles. But the machinery that does this isn't perfect. It can make small mistakes as it replicates. And those mistakes, or mutations, give each virus its own unique tag, like a scratch on a car.
It doesn't necessarily impact how the car functions, but it allows you to differentiate one particular car from a different car of the same type.
And all these scratches allow scientists to identify the path of this virus. In our world of travel and connectedness, this teeny tiny vehicle is getting around.
And it's confirmed the fact that, yes, we had, you know, a new coronavirus in Nigeria, and then that virus had its origin over in China.
The viruses that we see circulating here in New York are actually very similar to viruses that are circulating in Europe. And what that then tells us in return is that as the virus spread from Asia, it didn't come directly to New York, but rather it took sort of a detour through Europe.
Researchers like Emma Hodcroft have been using the sequencing data generated by scientists like Happy and Van Bakel to help map those routes. She's a molecular epidemiologist at the University of Basel in Switzerland and works with NextStrain, which is creating what's called a phylogenetic tree of the coronavirus.
So at the moment, we have over 10,000 sequences, which is amazing.
The tree Hodcroft and her colleagues are making helps show where variations of the virus have gone and where they might have even stopped spreading. Ideally, this information can help policymakers better understand how the virus behaves and how to better respond to new outbreaks.
So if we can find out what were the dangers beforehand, how did this virus spread effectively between different states or between different cities, we can keep an eye on that as we come out of lockdown to make sure that we don't give the virus that advantage when we try and start reallowing movement and reopening shops and this kind of thing.
Hodcroft cannot stress enough that for scientists to understand the behavior of the virus, they depend on getting information from one another.
And the fact that it was shared so openly so that scientists could immediately start working on it around the world set this milestone that, okay, this is how we're going to do this pandemic.
But doing the pandemic in this way has required a very key element that is no small feat, an actual way to share this information, as in massive open-sourced platforms where scientists can upload and download the new coronavirus sequences. One of the main ones is called GISAID.
It stands for the Global Initiative on Sharing All Influenza Data that was started in 2008.
Peter Bogner is the founder of GISAID. Anyone can use the platform, so long as they register and agree to credit the scientist if they use his or her data in any resulting research. The initiative came out of the systems of labs around the world that track genetic data for flu viruses. It's been a landing point for sharing that information and is critical for developing annual flu vaccines. GISAID has scientific advisors from China, Europe, the U.S. It was a well-oiled machine when the coronavirus hit.
We were called earlier this year in the first week of January by our partners in China and various public health laboratories if we could assist with the sharing of a newly emerging coronavirus. And at the time, it obviously was an unknown thing.
Those early calls morphed into a massive effort among scientists to share their data. Bogner says more than 20,000 people are now registered around the globe to study the genomic sequence of the coronavirus.
It's an exponential growth that is staggering.
In many ways, the global health of the population hinges on this kind of collaboration. But there are major gaps. Not all countries have the capacity to collect and sequence the coronavirus, and so that can create blind spots in tracing it. Christian Hoppe, the scientist in Nigeria, has another big concern. It's about who benefits when these sequences lead to an effective vaccine or treatment.
You know, the companies that are developing tools, diagnostics, and then vaccines should understand that because we share the data, then they should also share in terms of their benefit.
He worries that once this genomic data is used to successfully develop a life-saving treatment, the communities who are vital in that effort may not have equal access to the medicine, or it might be too expensive. Scientists and policymakers haven't solved that problem, at least not yet. For The World, I'm Alana Gordon.